Welcome back, Perry Kincaid, author of The Lost Commons, Human Relevance Under Siege. Thank you for joining me as we continue this journey together. 20 years, 1,000 voices, one book. Over those 20 years, I had the opportunity to work with entrepreneurs, researchers, educators, public servants, investors and community leaders, citizens who are all wrestling with a similar question. Why do some good ideas flourish while others disappear? Why do some communities adapt while others struggle? And why do so many promising innovations fail to achieve their potential? In episode 3, The Illusion of Permanence, we explored the danger of assuming that today's success will automatically continue tomorrow. We examined Alberta's experience with resource wealth and economic cycles, and we discovered that resilience is not created by preserving the status quo. It is created by recognizing change early and adapting before circumstances force us to do so. But recognizing change is only the first step. The next challenge is turning ideas into action. And that's what we do today as we turn to chapter 4 of the book, The Missing Medium. This chapter is one of the most important in the book because it moves from diagnosis to prescription. It explains why so many promising ideas fail, why funding also disappoints, why relationships matter more than resources, and why the skills most needed in the AI era may be the very human skills we have undervalued for decades. At first glance, the title, The Missing Medium, sounds mysterious. What medium is missing? What exactly are we talking about? Well, the answer emerged from almost 20 years of studying innovation, entrepreneurship, economic diversification, and organizational change. It emerged from thousands of conversations with business owners and researchers, investors and educators, public servants, and community leaders. And it challenged one of the most widely accepted assumptions in economic development. The assumption was simple. If we want innovation, we need money. If we want growth, we need funding. If businesses fail, it's because they lack capital. That belief is so widespread that few people questioned it. Yet after years of observing Alberta's innovation system, I found myself asking a different question. Money is the answer. Why do so many well-funded initiatives still fail? Why do governments spend billions supporting innovation and see so little transformation, so little results? Why do great ideas disappear? Why do promising companies stall? Why do breakthrough discoveries never reach the marketplace? Why do small businesses fail to become medium? That's the big question. The question was not where the money has went. The money is why the money wasn't enough. The answer eventually became clear. Capital wasn't the primary constraint. Relationships were. The missing medium was not money. It was human capacity. The ability to connect people and build trust. The ability to transform resources into results. The ability to move ideas from possibility into reality. The realization emerged most clearly during a province-wide consultation process. As I toured the province in 2014, I traveled across the province, from Fort McMurray in the north to Medicine Hat in the south. The Chambers of Commerce were most helpful, introducing me to small, early-stage entrepreneurs. I met many of them in their own communities, and I listened. And I asked a simple question. Why do small businesses fail to grow? Conventional wisdom predicted the answer. Most experts expected that I was wasting my time. Business owners would complain about funding, access to capital, bank loans, investment, government support. Instead, I heard something very different. Again and again, entrepreneurs told me that money was not the biggest challenge. Management was, marketing was, mentorship was, networking was, relationships were, knowing the customer. The problem wasn't the lack of resources. The problem was the lack of capacity to use those resources effectively. The discovery led to what I came to call the missing M. The missing M element was between small and medium-sized enterprises. The reason so many small businesses never become medium-sized businesses. The missing M was management. The missing issue was not growing. Not administration, not paperwork, not bureaucracy. Management in its deepest sense. The ability to coordinate people, build relationships, understand and know and develop customers, lead teams, solve problems, create trust, execute consistently. That finding was remarkably consistent. The businesses failed not because they lacked ideas, not because they lacked technology, not because they lacked funding. They failed typically because they lacked the human capabilities or the human awareness required to turn ideas into sustainable enterprises. Without a customer, there is no business. This insight changed how I viewed innovation. For years, government focused heavily on financial solutions, grant programs, investment funds, subsidies, tax write-offs, research support. Yet these solutions often ignored the human side of innovation. And in fact, they were rarely effective. The human side of innovation was marketing and management and mentoring. I joke about the many M's: marketing, management, manpower, moxie, mergers, and marriages. What I call moxie: determination, confidence, and prestige. The courage to continue when success remains uncertain. These human qualities rarely appear in economic reports, and yet they often determine success. As I reflected on the findings and elaborate on in the chapter, another realization emerged. Systems are often described as though they are machines, but they're not. Systems are collections of people. They make it work, and people operate through relationships. Organizations function because individuals communicate. Individuals matter. They collaborate. They negotiate. They adapt. They listen. They share. Markets function because participants trust one another enough to exchange value. Innovation happens because relationships connect ideas to opportunity. Viewed from a distance, systems appear mechanical, but viewed up close, they're deeply human. This is why relationships matter. Without relationships, knowledge has little value. Without relationships, investment remains idle. Without relationships, innovation stalls. Without relationships, even brilliant ideas struggle to survive. This understanding fundamentally changes how we think about what is often called the Valley of Death. Valley of Death for small businesses is a familiar term in innovation circles. Traditionally, it describes the gap between research and commercialization, a period when promising ideas struggle to move from laboratory to marketplace. Most discussions assume that this gap exists because of insufficient funding, bridge financing, seed capital, gap funding, patient capital. The language itself assumes money is the problem. Maybe accountants have too much influence in terms of business opportunity and business growth. Our research suggested otherwise. Valley of Death is not primarily financial, it's relational. Ideas fail because the people required to advance them are not connected. Researchers don't know entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs don't know investors. Investors don't know customers. Product developers don't know customers. They're engineering intense. They know product in detail. But without a customer, well, the business does not evolve. Customers do not trust the solution. Chain breaks long before money becomes the deciding factor. The challenge is not the absence of resources, it's the absence of relationships. I was reminded of this repeatedly throughout Alberta. In smaller communities, entrepreneurs often face isolation. A business owner might possess technical expertise, but lack mentors. A researcher might possess world-class knowledge, but lack commercial contacts. An investor might have capital, but lack confidence in the people that they seek. The missing ingredient was not financial, it was social, human, relational. This observation became especially important as I watched universities and governments invest heavily in innovation programs and a partnership that both thought would add value. Let's consider nanotechnology. More than $1 billion was invested in nanotechnology research at a local university. The goal was economic development, commercialization, company creation, market growth. The facilities were built, the researchers were funded, papers were published, the patents were generated. Yet remarkably, little research the marketplace. Why? Because the system rewarded discovery rather than commercialization. Researchers advanced their careers through publications, not product launches, not customer adaptation, not customer adoption, but company growth. The system received exactly what it was designed to produce, research. The problem was not incompetence, the problem was incentives. People respond to what systems reward, and systems often reward activity rather than outcomes. Systems designed to do research rarely have a commercialization component. This pattern became so common that I eventually described it as the grant trap. Government programs often select for grant writing ability rather than commercial ability. Organizations become skilled at securing funding. But securing funding is not the same as creating value. The metrics look impressive. Millions invested, hundreds of projects funded. thousands of participants engaged. Not meaningful transformation, it remains elusive. The emphasis shifts from outcomes to compliance, from customers to reports, from innovation to administration. And once again, the human relationships required for success receive insufficient attention. Over time, I encountered this same pattern in many places, government, in universities and nonprofit organizations, in industry associations, the supply chain with all of its elements, but none of them advancing commercialization. Each possess capable people, each possess resources, each possess good intentions, yet meaningful collaboration remained difficult. Why? Because again, everyone operated within their own silo, their own incentives, their own priorities, their own definitions of success. What was missing was a mechanism for bringing people together, a way to create trust across boundaries, a way to connect individuals who needed one another. This realization led to what I call the convener model. The convener model, essential in the story of this book, begins with a simple observation. Trust is now one of the world's scarcest resources. Information is abundant, capital is abundant, technology is increasingly abundant, trust is not. Trust must be earned, built, maintained, strengthened. The role of a convener is not to control, not to manage, not to command. The role is to connect, to bring people together, to create environments where relationships can form, to encourage collaboration, to help ideas find partners, to help opportunities find champions. For nearly two decades, ABC Tech attempted to play this role. Our conferences were not simply educational events, they were opportunities for structured collisions. Researchers meeting entrepreneurs, investors meeting founders, policymakers meeting innovators, people encountering perspectives they would not otherwise encounter. The most valuable outcomes rarely occurred on stage. They occurred in conversations, hallways, coffee breaks, networking sessions, friendships, partners, partnerships, trust. The relationships were the product. The event itself was merely the vehicle. One example was Moonlight in the Meadows, an annual gathering held in Edmonton's lush river valley. Part networking event, part celebration, part community gathering. People from different sectors came together, those from technology, the arts, business, government, education. The atmosphere was informal, creative, enjoyable, even a little artistic. The barriers between silos disappeared, and something remarkable happened. We piped up the sun, we harped down the moon, and people talked. It was fun. Ideas emerged, partnerships formed, innovation occurred, not because anyone mandated it, but because relationships made it possible. This lesson extends beyond business. It applies to society itself. The commons depends upon relationships, trust. Communities depend upon relationships, trust. Democracy depends upon relationships, trust. Families depend upon relationships. Civilizations depend upon relationships. The stronger the relationships, the stronger the system. The weaker the relationships, the greater the fragility. As we noted in an earlier chapter, this is what we call resilience. It also brings us to the deepest insight of chapter 4. The missing M is evolving into something larger, the missing meaning. As artificial intelligence advances, many traditional knowledge tasks are becoming automated. Think research, think analysis, think writing, think information retrieval. These capabilities, once exclusively human, are increasingly belonging to machines, as well as humans. The question is no longer simply how businesses grow. The question is how people remain relevant. What capabilities remain uniquely human? The answer echoes the findings of our surveys. Relationships, trust, judgment, leadership, meaning, purpose, the ability to create understanding, the ability to inspire confidence, the ability to navigate uncertainty, the ability to build communities. The very qualities often dismissed as soft skills, rarely measured by accountants, intangibles, they may become the most valuable skills of all in this new world that we see evolving before our very eyes. Machines can process information, machines can generate content, machines can automate procedures, but relationships remain profoundly human. Trust remains profoundly human. Meaning remains profoundly human. This is why the future belongs not merely to those who know the most. Knowledge is becoming a commodity. The future belongs to those who can connect people, who can create trust, who generate meaning, purpose. They build communities. They lead change. The missing M is no longer management alone. It's humanity itself. As we conclude episode 4, consider this question. Throughout your life, who made the greatest difference? Was it the person with the most money? Was it the person with the most credentials? Is it the person with the most information? Was it the person who listened, mentored, encouraged, connected, inspired, trusted? The answer reveals something important about you and about the society, which has always been the case, but more so as we move into the future. Human progress has always depended on relationships. In an age increasingly defined by machines, relationships may become our most important competitive advantage. In episode 5, we turn our attention to a powerful force that repeatedly blocks innovation and change, a force we observed in governments, universities, corporations, professions, and organizations of every kind. We call it the institutional antibody, the tendency of systems to resist the very innovations they need most. This script establishes a strong bridge from episode 3's focus on resilience and fragility to episode 5 as we look forward to exploring the institutional antibody while emphasizing one of the central themes of this book, that human relationships, trust, and meaning may become more valuable, not less, in the age of AI. Thank you for joining me for episode 4 of The Lost Commons, Human Relevance Under Siege, 20 Years, 1,000 Voices, 1 Book. To receive updates and register for a pre-release copy of the book expected this fall, please visit keinetwork.net. I'm Perry Kincaid. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to having you join me for episode 5.